Welcome to What Is Going Om's Synchronize Your Energies, the show that provides clear insights into the rapidly shifting energies that are upgrading human consciousness and evolving life on planet Earth. Each month, hosts Sandy Sedgbeer, Susie Miller, and Lee Harris share their observations and awarenesses and offer a stable means of synchronizing your energy fields so you can thrive, not just survive, during these tumultuous times. Here's your hosts, Sandy Sedgbeer, Susie Miller, and Lee Harris.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer.
I'm Lee Harris.
And I'm Susie Miller.
And you're listening to the March edition of Synchronize Your Energies. And March, my goodness, what an interesting month it's been. It feels to me like it was a long time since we spoke, and yet at the same time, so much seems to have happened, and it seems to have happened very quickly this past month.
It's true, actually. It's funny, as you say that, it does feel like a long time ago. But yeah, certainly, the intensity of energetics and the speed of things and everything, just this last month for myself and for lots of people I've been speaking to, has just been on fire.
Perhaps we're warping time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're definitely moving out of time. It seems like it's getting really intense, but we seem to be able to modulate that intensity much quicker than we've been able to in the past anyway.
Well, I know you guys are very plugged into the energy, and I seem to be a lot more mental than you, so I kind of get my fix on where we are and what's going on through astrology, as you know. And we really are having some amazing astrological conjunctions, aspects, things all happening at once all of a sudden. So to me, it explains everything, and it tells me that we're bang on target with what should be happening as we unravel some of the old and start, you know, creating some of the new. But what's it been like for you?
You want to start, Lee?
I was afraid you were going to say that.
I'm happy to go, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think last month I touched on the feeling of overwhelm. I would say that's probably, for me, the feeling of overwhelm has been my biggest growth edge this month. I've noticed in myself, in my own life, if I have to kind of, you know, wrap a metaphor around it, there are times that I feel like my 13-year-old and 17-year-old self are strapped to the front of a speeding train and kind of going, ah, every now and then, you know, and then I'm absolutely fine again. Everything's fine. I think for me, there has been this feeling of really flushing stuff out. That my mind isn't on, or that doesn't necessarily relate to what's going on in my outer world. But I think because there is momentum in my outer world at the moment, I had this really intense experience a couple of weeks ago. And I think, you know, I've had this book come out this month, and I know that has kind of done stuff to me energetically as well. And I got this feeling that I was getting a parasite out of my body. I was literally like talking to my guides going, what the hell is going on? Like this last 3 days, I just felt like something was trying to get out of or through my system. And that was the word that came, and that felt really true. It was like some kind of childhood stuff being pulled out of me in response to the circumstances that the adult me is currently standing in and has suddenly put around himself. So if we just get psychological, I can relate it to going even more publicly out there as a channeler. And I feel like that to me ties in just to expression and being able to express yourself without fear of comeback or retribution. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot more I could say, but that's really the headline of it. That was kind of been the biggest growth healing for me this past month.
It's interesting to me too, Lee, that you're talking about, you know, those teenage years too, because I Same thing for me. What I really noticed was it wasn't so much the little people in me, the little person as little people in me, but it was the teenagers, you know, within my, like, you know, kind of the community of, you know, my totality, let's say. But it was almost as if these teenagers, in my experience, really needed a voice. They needed to be heard. And, you know, working with as many kids as I do, and especially, you know, really energetically sensitive ones that fall into those teenage years as well, it was like, you know, I was seeing it on the inside and the outside. You know, my clients in their teenage years were really needing to be heard. And if they weren't heard, man, they were causing a little bit of destruction, you know, in the lives of themselves and others. And it almost felt like the same thing to me, like this 14-year-old within me, man, she needed to have a voice, and she needed to have it when she had it. And I needed to have as much compassion for her as I, you know, as I possibly could. But there was the other side of that, was that, you know, this way in which these parts of ourselves were getting suppressed, or no, don't go there, don't say that, don't, you know, don't articulate, you know, what's true for you in this moment. It was almost as if by actually giving voice to that, there was this liberation. You know, it's like almost this lightening up of the energy and empowerment somehow. So, I think I erred this month on, you know, what I would have said was a lack of spiritual maturity in the past. I thought, oh, no, this is giving voice to something that needs to have a voice. So
I love it when you two tell me how things have been for you, because then I look at the astrology and go, yep, that's exactly right. You know, they don't know it, but it's, you know, this Chiron in Aries, and then the Sun joined it a few days ago. And, you know, that's really, really important. And, you know, what we're being called upon is to really consciously engage in owning and processing our wounds and our pain. And let's face it, you know, most of our wounds come from childhood. You know, I am fortunate enough at the moment to have plenty of experience of that, because I'm spending time with my 2-year older sister, and, you know, that sibling stuff that you have that never really got addressed comes to the surface, and you get all of these triggers, and you find yourself behaving just like a kid again. Hey, you did this. No, you did that. It was your fault. And you realize that's where all your pain is. You know, yeah. It's all stuck there, and it needs to come out.
Over the last 5 weeks, or just ended a couple days ago, I was doing this course with, you know, about removing that parent-child programming. And, you know, and this plays into siblings as well, but it was so fascinating to me, because I was seeing this energetic imprint that was, it's part of every single sentient being, you know, every single human being for sure on this planet, that passes down unconscious information from parent to child. And it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, our parents passing it down to us, or, you know, us passing it down to our kids. But I agree with you, Sandy. It's like this last month, I was getting to see every which way but loose, you know, some of the dynamics that kind of generationally, how different kids within my own children, and then also siblings, how we interact with those programs. You know, you can see the program play out in every person, you know, within this structure, within this family, but they all play it out just a little bit differently, and those triggers hit each one just a little bit differently. And it's just been fascinating to me anyway, to see that maybe right here, right now, we have the ability to literally, like, you know, at the speed of light, you know, feel these things, move it, and maybe create brand new programs, create brand new patterns. It was that part of things was really exciting to me in this last month. Lee, did you want to?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I just a couple of nights ago, we went to see this new movie called Gloria Bell. And it stars Julianne Moore, who, I mean, I would go and watch her, you know, opening an envelope for 2 hours. and it was just fantastic. It was intense, too. I mean, there are certainly some scenes in there. But what I loved about it was it's not necessarily that you would say her character is that conscious or awake. But she's really bold and she's brave and she's a woman in her 50s whose kids have kind of, you know, forgotten about her or don't really pay attention to her life. She's very lonely. She's isolated. And it's such an intimate film. You see all her ups and downs. And she's really brave in that she keeps just throwing herself towards trying to initiate life. But she gets into this relationship with this guy played by John Turturro, who's brilliant in it, too. And it was so hard for me to watch because it reminded me of bad relationships I'd been in the past. And you're watching this train wreck and I was sitting there going, oh, God, no, don't. This is going. But what I loved about the movie, there was one scene where she first meets him at a bar and he comes up to her and he says, you seem like a really happy person. And she just takes a pause and she goes, some days I'm happy, some days I'm not. And to me, I feel like that was the part that was underparented for me when I was a kid. I felt like I was in a world where there were highs and lows, there were emotions and shadows and things that were secret and that weren't talked about. And that was very distorting for me as a kid. And it's why I stifled myself, all through my teens through eating and bulimia. And I feel like the remedy for all of us at this time is to be able to talk about these highs and lows and to recognize they happen and to know that we parent ourselves through our low. That's kind of what I take from you, Susie, and that's what my guides are always saying. We have to parent ourselves through our shadows and our most challenging moments and be kind to ourselves when we're suffering or struggling. And it feels like this time we're in now, a lot of the light workers or healers or spiritual people I know, some people are shocked that they're going through that because they're like, I thought I was awake. And it's like, well, yeah, if the whole world is waking up, you're going to the next level too, and so are we all. So I'm noticing that appreciation for myself of this intensity. It's like, oh, great, we get to heal this and clear this out. And in this moment, we're happy, and in this moment, we're in a tough spot. I don't know if I really made a point, but you know what I mean? Those were the things I felt to share.
Yeah, you know what? I think you raised some really interesting points there. I mean, both of you have, because, you know, as parents, we adopt another persona. You know, we're the authority, we're the one in charge, we're the responsible person. Yet really, there's this six-year-old running us that we don't, you know, we're not aware of. It's not until we go back into a situation where, you know, we're with people who did know us as children, like my sister or like our own parents, that, you know, there's elements of where we kind of regress and all of those pieces come up. And you said the word spiritual maturity, Susie, and I don't think it's just spiritual. I think, you know, I wonder sometimes how mature we really are and what that word really means. You know, as far as spiritual maturity goes, I think it doesn't mean what people think it means, that we're supposed to transcend all of this, you know, earthly stuff, this sibling stuff, this family stuff. I don't think it means that at all. But, you know, I think this getting to the grips with that six-year-old that is sitting in the background, being ignored, being pushed down while we're trying to be the responsible career person, teacher, author, whatever, but he's there and he's being unheard still. That's what we need to be looking at.
Well, and that's what we were talking about on a call I did this morning. You know, the collective consciousness of the children was saying, you know, that our level of maturity, whether you want to call that spiritual maturity or emotional maturity, one, they were saying that if you consider that we're like this giant sphere and our totality is made up of many different aspects. You know, in kind of the ancient cultures, they might call it, you know, getting familiar with the 10,000 things. You know, it's like, so there are all of these different aspects of us. And what the collective consciousness of the kids was saying is that some of those aspects of ourselves are very mature. You know, we can have conversations that, you know, are where we are very awake and aware. There are other aspects of us that, you know, are, like you say, still the three-year-old, still the two-year-old. And what the collective consciousness of the children was saying was that our maturity is not based on, you know, on anything else other than, you know, how kind are the mature aspects of us towards the aspects of our internal community that aren't so evolved, you know? And it's like, so can we use our strengths to overcome our perceived weaknesses? You know, can we be compassionate and loving to those parts of ourselves? And that was their term for maturity.
That's a really good point, and I think we should, you know, talk about that a bit more when we come back from the break. You're listening to What Is Going On's monthly Synchronize Your Energy show, in which energy guide, author, channeler and musician Lee Harris, visionary speaker, author, telepathic communicator and multidimensional seer Susie Miller, and me, Sandy Sedgbeer, join around the table for an informal and unscripted sharing of what each of us is experiencing. So we'll be back with a bit more after the break.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay.
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Welcome back. You know, Susie, what you said there about a community of us, I mean, we are so trained to focus on singular aspects of ourselves, you know, the part of us we need to develop in order to have a specific career or to be a parent, etc. We forget that there is a whole community of us. And actually, you know, there are places where that six-year-old in me could teach me an awful lot if I listened to her.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm finding it too. I've been doing a little practice, or I'm kind of making up my own practice as I'm going along lately, of just putting myself in a sphere and just, you know, I'm sitting in this sphere and whatever the issue is, you know, I've got this trigger or I've got this experience happening. And I just start asking, you know, it's almost like, is there anybody in front of me? Are there any aspects of me, future aspects of me, that has something to say. Are there any aspects from the past? Any aspects from the masculine? Any aspects from the feminine? How about the above? How about the below? You know, it's like, let's just, everybody come to the table, please, because, you know, it's going to take all of us moving in the same direction to actually get anywhere, you know. So, and I've been really fascinated by that, too, because sometimes you think that, you know, the past is pulling you back, you know, or it's, you know, it's causing a hindrance. And yet sometimes the past has something very empowering that is propelling you forward. And yeah, so I think you're right. Those six-year-olds within us have a lot to teach us.
Yeah, I feel like what happens is as we move forward into perhaps bigger circumstances than we've ever experienced or given ourselves, or perhaps a really kind, loving friendship, and perhaps we've never had a really kind, loving friendship with someone, it brings up the wounds of where those things didn't happen. And I remember very well, I was about 20 years old and I had a summer job. There were a group of us running like a kids kind of summer camp in England, in London. And I remember that the kids who would gravitate towards me were the boys who didn't have dads. And it took me a while for the penny to drop, but the boys who would often hang around me and talk to me and want to talk to me, they didn't have father figures in their lives because they needed that parenting. And when I started to kind of crock that, it made sense years later when I was thinking about the wounded aspects of us come up because we're now capable of parenting them. So, you know, for example, with the stuff I was going through a couple of weeks ago, I wasn't capable when I was in the wound at those ages of parenting myself, and the parenting I needed wasn't available to me. So now I'm in a situation where I have grown in a certain way or to a certain place. It's almost like that wounded child goes, hey, will you parent me now? Because if you want to stay here or really enjoy being here or keep moving forward or really be whole in this new situation, I just need you to love me, stroke my head, let me cry, you know, whatever it is.
You know, that's a really, really interesting thing there. And what you said, Susie, about this fear, I think I'm going to adopt that one, because looking back over the past month, there were times when I would be so caught up in the dynamics of a situation that I would have all kinds of thoughts, and then I'd catch myself and think, where's that thought coming from? You know, I should be way beyond that kind of thing. That's a very childish reaction. When instead of trying to push it away, and you know, this is back to your spiritual maturity thing again, because so many of us think spiritual maturity is rising above it. You know, I could pull that six-year-old into the bubble and say, you know, well, what have you got to say about this? You know, because it's coming from that six-year-old.
Yeah, and all I can say, Sandy, is when you do this little exercise, it gets really loud in there for a minute, because it's like it's the first time everybody's had a say, and everybody wants to have a say. You know, it's like there's a lot of conversation going on. But yeah, I'm with you too, though. It's I truly believe that these younger aspects of ourselves, you know, and like you were just saying, Lee, you know, these younger aspects of ourselves that get shut down or that get triggered when, you know, we're moving out into the world in bigger and bigger ways, like you're doing so beautifully right now. And it just, to me, it feels like it's almost like, you know, that phrase, like, who were you before anybody told you who you were? You know, yeah. That kind of stuff. Mm. This is kind of what, you know, it's like these children within us know so much and have so much. They have innocence and they have power. And I think until we do have the opportunity to kind of go back and ask them, at least I know when I go back and ask them, I'm amazed at what they know that I didn't know that part of my community knew. You know? Mm. You know? Mm. You know, you know, you know?
Yeah. They know.
Somebody, thank God, somebody knows. Yeah.
And you know, Sandy, I really connected with what you said about, there was something you said, it was something like, I'm paraphrasing you, but it was something like, I should know better than this.
Yes.
Or I should be beyond this. And who knows, maybe that was just growing up in Britain, because I relate to that kind of that kind of approach too. But one of the slowest and longest journeys that I have had around healing has been being kind to myself when I'm not doing as well as I think I should be doing, or another part of my mind thinks I should be over it. And of course, you know, it's not just Britain. I mean, there are loads of people all over the world who probably have stories of being told off by somebody or told that they should have been doing it quicker or better. And so then we take those voices from outside us and we put them in our own minds so as to protect ourselves from being chastised by others. So, you know, if you get told off by your parent for something, you learn to tell yourself off first so you don't do it, so that you don't have to go into that impact with them energetically of being told off. So there's like a real undoing around that stuff in your own psychology and emotion. And I also know that's why it is slow. It's a slow process. I think it can feel a bit like regression, because you're like, wow, I thought my emotional capacity was much wider and bigger than this. But actually, it's because your emotional capacity has got bigger and wider that a very knotted aspect of you can rise to the surface. And a bit like your exercise, Susie, one of the things that I have had to learn to say is, I love every part of myself and my being. Because I know there were times in my life when I was quite destructive towards myself, because there were aspects of myself that I just couldn't balance or make peace with or allow in.
I'm having all kinds of memories coming up about incidents in childhood when, you know, people did shut you down, and, you know, maybe I wasn't supposed to hear what they had to say about me, or somebody just didn't like, you know, how I was behaving. But, you know, when I think about who I was as a very young child, you know, before the age of about 11, I was so spontaneous, you know, I was so kind of out there. And somewhere around 11, that all changed. And I started closing myself off. And I can remember one particular incident of being very, very spontaneous, dancing around, pretending to play an air guitar, you know, acting as if I was Elvis Presley when I was with a friend at another friend's house, and overhearing one of the gathered mums saying, well, I like that little girl Barbara, but, oh, that Sandra, doesn't she get on your nerves? And just, you know, being gobsmacked and thinking, what did I do?
Yeah.
What did I do? And those are the kinds of things that shut us right down. Right there, there's an 11-year-old who could come and tell me a few things that I need, you know, need to know.
That is the transference of the wound. Like,
yeah.
So basically, that woman, we don't know, because she's not here to speak for herself, but we could come up with a few reasons why she said that. But, you know, it's highly possible or probable that she wasn't allowed to express herself in that way as a kid. So therefore, she tried to shut you down the way she'd been shut down, and the wound transferred. And that's what we're all dealing with all the time. Like secondhand wounds that we've all like made our own and made our own outfits with, that we're, you know, letting go of.
And that seems like it's exactly what is unwinding, or able to unwind right now. I mean, that's just what this course was about. And again, it's fascinating to me to, like, see the way the unconscious gets passed from one to the other, and unconscious projection, right, from one to the other. And you said something earlier too, Lee, about this feeling almost like a regression. And I think a lot of people right now, I know I am, feeling like I'm almost going back. It's almost like Sandy, I think last month you talked about something about this being the end astrologically of,
yes,
like an 8-year cycle or something like that. And what I noticed this month is it almost felt like it was like a regression to 8 years ago, but with new information, with new insights, with maybe new parts of myself that were, going to address the same subjects as before, but, you know, regression back into some childhood things again, regression back into some patterns that, you know, were still playing out very strongly then, and then how do they get addressed? Same thing, second cycle kind of thing. Does that make
right.
sense?
It is, and you know, astrology, that happens all the time. You know, you sometimes get the same astrology coming around, or certain planets, you know, making the same aspects and transits, and some, because they're so slow, don't make them again in your lifetime. But I think what we forget is those same things come up, but as you said, we're in a different place. Mm-hmm. So we get a different, you know, we can look at them from a different angle, or we can respond to them from the six-year-old or the 11-year-old or whoever. But we get these opportunities again and again.
Yeah, and to Lee's point, the mental body or the mind says it's regression, right? But is it regression? You know, it's like it's only regression in the sense that we're going back to a younger part of ourselves. But if each one of these parts is really seen as a point within the whole, I don't know. It's just like, I know from, I'm trying to come up with something myself here, because in all honesty, I don't like that feeling like I'm regressing. You know, I don't like,
no.
You know, it's like, and the language, Lee, maybe probably have
funny.
A brilliant
well,
statement about this.
Well,
because you come up with these things all the time.
Well, you know what just hit me really as I was listening to you that I'd never really considered before is two things. If you think about it, like, I don't know about you guys, but my 7-year-old and my 13-year-old had nowhere mm-hmm. near the capacity that I have now to understand, right. process, and communicate and express. But equally, you know, my 6 and 7-year-old would have been 1982 and 1983. Which were very different times on Earth around communication mm-hmm. and around. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a twofold process that, I mean, it might feel like regression, although of course, you know, considering time isn't linear anyway,
right.
we're not actually going back, we're just slightly going sideways, or, you know, another timeline is being pulled up. But probably some of the pain or the constriction that we feel is less personal than we attribute it. And that's been one of my biggest... The message that I've been asked to deliver to the people who, you know, gather around my work in recent months, and deeply ingrained for myself too, is that it's never as personal as you think. So if you're having a really funky day, it's not just about you. Something's happened, or something's going on in the world, or something's going on in the energy. And I think one of the tricky things is when we go into isolation around our supposed regressive state. There is something to this. There is something to understanding that when we go back, we're going back to the capacity of that personality that you had then too, but also the capacity of the, let's just say, emotional communication and emotional awareness of the world at that time.
Yes. Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
It does. You know, I'm having all kinds of interesting little visualizations now, Susie. I'm thinking about, you know, getting all those younger me's around a table, like a boardroom, and consulting them before I make any decisions, or if I'm beginning to judge myself too harshly. Can I take that table into my sphere?
Absolutely. Just don't take a bottle of wine in there, because they're too young to drink it.
Yes. And you know, the other aspect to consider here is that we're talking about aspects of that 6 or 7-year-old. So what we're pulling up is the wound of their day. We're not pulling up, you know, the joy that they had an hour earlier, or the part of them
yes.
that felt free and expressive. So that's the other piece that we have to remember, because we go, oh, this is my inner 7-year-old and she feels like this. But an hour later, she felt completely different. So,
exactly.
You know, there's something to recognizing, like you're saying, Susie, which I've worked with for years myself, this idea that we're a community inside. So too was that 6 or 7-year-old, and yeah, she doesn't need you to process the good thing that she was going through.
No,
she just wants to try and heal the thing that was tough.
You know, but the positive aspects of her do, and that's the thing, is when we go back to talk to her, she shows us that, You know, it's like, and I think that's the blessing in the wound, so to speak, you know, because if we'll actually use that opportunity to go back and have the conversation, we do get to hear not only how that wound was for her or him, but also, you know, what was on the other side of it. You know, what were some of the other awarenesses that aspect has? And that, those are always the ones I go, wow, that, you know, those are the enlightening pieces.
Which makes me think Sandy has to take the air guitar into the bubble. So she has to make sure that whenever she's... No, seriously, it's like, you know, you kind of have to recapture. It's like, you know, that was your high that you pulled down from. So now the air guitar has to come back. So Sandy, a bit of dancing around the house later.
But I have to admit that I've got to confess my Elvis Presley impression was really, really bad.
Well, it doesn't matter. Hey, it might be better now. Yeah. Put it on YouTube and we'll tell you.
Oh, maybe it's devolved over the years. Who knows? You know, it's just so many points here that I wish we had more time to talk about, because I think that we ignore so much in trying, you know, to be spiritually mature. We leave behind so much, and I think it's a really good reminder, certainly for me, listening to you two and having this conversation. I mean, you and I have done a lot of work with NLP core transformation work over the years, Susie, and that always takes you back. And there's always, you know, we always find those drivers for certain behaviours that we'd completely forgotten about. But it really would behoove us all to think about some of that and, you know, maybe have a little meditation session going back to our younger selves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, there's the message. We have to go to our break. You're listening to What Is Going On's monthly Synchronize Your Energy show. After the break, we'll be having a session from Susie to synchronize our energies to help us cope with the energies this month. We'll be back in a few moments.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back. Well, it's time to turn it over to Susie. But before we do, Lee, is there anything that you want to share? I mean, I always get such great insights when I talk to you guys, you know, and I go away from the conversation chewing over lots and lots of things. Is there any insights you want to share with anybody, or do you want to hand it over to Susie?
I'm speechless, which is always nice. So no, I like you. I've really enjoyed listening to you guys and kind of just, the group soup that we've kind of focused. And I'm really curious actually how this is landing for the people listening, because you know, this isn't just the three of us talking. We're having a big conversation here with whoever's listening. So to anyone listening, we would really love to hear from you how this is landing for you, and how and what's showing up in your month that's similar.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great.
Okay, well, that was our month and our insights. Susie, over to you, and you can help get us ready for the month to come.
Sounds great. So, again, looking here at the collective consciousness of, you know, of Sandy Lee and I, and then all of you all listening in, so taking the information for this little piece of energy work from that pool of consciousness, so to speak. So if everybody will just take a nice deep inhale and exhale first. Let's just breathe into ourselves. And when we say ourselves, of course, we were talking earlier about all the different aspects of ourselves. And so it feels like this is where we want to go in this energy work today. So let's just bring to the surface those aspects of us that are ready to be heard and or are ready to have a voice that maybe up until now didn't even know that they could have a voice. So whatever those aspects are, let's just ask them to start bubbling their way to the surface. And we're going to ask them to bubble their way to the surface with ease and grace. There's no need for a return to trauma or drama here, but just letting them surface. Okay. All right. So just looking at this collective consciousness, as that energy surfaces, there are all kinds of reasons why that energy was repressed or suppressed in the first place. So anything that, how are we going to word this one? Let me see. Okay, beautiful. So anywhere where that energy was repressed or suppressed because we were made to feel not enough, we were made to some imprinting, something was imprinted upon us that said, don't be that. Like in Sandy's example of being Elvis, you know, don't be that, don't do that. So anything that's bringing up for us, let's place all of that information out in a sphere in front of us. So energy is just information. Information is just energy. And we're putting it in a sphere so that we can lovingly contain it. Okay, and we're going to place the blue star right in the center of that information. To me, that blue star represents our totality. It represents our conscious, coherent wholeness. And we're going to use that blue star to just spin through that sphere, spin through all that information, and just allow that sphere to go crystal clear. Let it go back to clear. As it goes back to clear, we're going to take that sphere, compress all that nice, clear energy, totality, back into that blue star. And we're going to drop that blue star into all of these aspects of ourselves that are now ready to be heard, now ready to have a voice. And just implode that into billions of frequencies of light. We're restructuring this aspect of ourselves, ready to be heard, ready to be seen, ready to be noticed. There we go. And actually ready to receive the love that maybe we didn't feel like we received in those initial experiences. Okay, so nice deep inhale and exhale, everybody. Okay, let that land. Okay, so the next thing that you all are showing me is that there's this energy bubbling to the surface of, I'm going to call it like this desire, need for stability. So we're like Lee was saying earlier, it's like we're up leveling. We're at another tier of the same experience, maybe, and things are opening up in all kinds of different ways. Yet there's this deep desire within the community that we all are to have that come to fruition in a stable and secure way, again, without the trauma and drama. So everywhere within us that there is this fear that our next iteration of self will not be expressed without trauma and drama. You know, anywhere where there is trauma and drama that's kind of trapped in certain aspects of our totality, let's go ahead and pull all that information up and place that information in a sphere. This is the very information that has us kind of hesitate in being seen, being heard, being loved, being supported, right? Feeling safe and stable. So put all that information into a sphere out in front of us, and then go ahead and add that blue star to that sphere. Again, we'll spin all of that information out. Get the sphere to clear. And go ahead and compress and condense that nice, clear sphere back into that blue star. You're empowering the totality. And then we're going to drop that blue star back into those places and spaces within us that are seeking stability, seeking safety, even as we evolve, even as we move and grow and change. Implode that into billions of frequencies of light. Ooh, that was a big one. Okay, beautiful. All right, so nice inhale and exhale again, everyone. All right, so the other thing that's showing up that we really didn't talk about, it is showing up in the collective energetics, and this might be a bit of my own projection, so we'll take it for what it's worth. But as we each evolve, as we each step into more of our totality, as we start to integrate all of these different aspects of us within our totality, there's a lot of power in that. And a lot of this power that is coming up, it kind of races through us right now as sometimes as anxiety, sometimes as exhilaration, sometimes as a means of digging out something even deeper that we haven't been able to get to before, sometimes as an opportunity to feel much more expansive than we've ever felt before. But whatever that energy is, the way you're showing it to me, it's that it's almost like as this empowerment comes, as this totality becomes more coherent, more cohesive, There's a little bit of anxiety. There's anticipation. There's, those phrases like, you know, it's not our limitations that we actually fear. It's actually our brilliance. This is a little bit about what you all are bringing up right now. So again, anything that just me talking about this is bringing to the surface, let's put all of that information up in the sphere out in front of you. There you go. Put the anxiety, put the buzz that's in the body, you know, whether it's exhilaration or anxiety, just put it in that sphere out in front of you. And we're going to blue star it. Spin all that energy out. We're just going to bring it back to neutral. Going to bring it back to functional ability to move forward in ease and grace and joy, highest and best for all involved, right? Spin it all out, compress and condense that sphere right back into that blue star. We're going to go ahead and take that blue star. We're going to drop it right back into the brilliance of our inner community. Right? Drop it into the brilliance of our inner community. Implode that into billions of frequencies of light. Beautiful. Okay, let me see if there's anything else. So the light language just helps get information and hopefully translates into, yeah, what's coming up. Okay, so only one other thing. So, and we did this last month, I remember, but I think it bears repeating. We all have this way in which, like if there's a little dial on our hearts, we all have this way in which, whether we're excited or whether we're anxious or whether we're, you know, repeating some pattern or whether we're evolving into a new one, our hearts have a tendency to modulate open and closed based on all of that. It's the heart's reading that energetic information all the time and trying to adjust. So we're not going to pull anything from the heart, but we're just going to give the heart the message that, again, it doesn't have to attempt to adjust based on old dramas and traumas. It's now allowed, able, given permission to adjust with ease and grace, with fluidity. Okay, so let's just make that matter. We're going to make that matter just with a tone. It has a tendency to just solidify that and add strength to that ability. So here we go. ¿Qué quiero matar o quieren hacer? All right, so nice deep inhale and exhale, everybody. All right, so if you've drifted a little bit during this process, let's just go ahead and begin to breathe into our bodies. And we will begin to wiggle our fingers and toes. Yeah, breathing into the body. Breathe in that lightness of being and exhale anything that might be remaining that just no longer serves your process in ease and grace, no longer serves those little ones within you. They all have this amazing innocence and it all wants to be expressed, right? So wiggling fingers and toes, stretching out arms and legs. You might even want to just shrug your shoulders and rotate your neck. And then go ahead and breathe your eyes open. Breathing your eyes open. All right, Sandy and Lee, breathing your eyes open. All right, there she is. All right, back to you, my dear.
Thank you, Susie. Lee, is there anything you want to add to what we've said tonight or since this experience with Susie?
No, I just want to say I loved the experience, Susie, and I really loved the toning at the end. Mm. That was great.
Yeah. I've missed that. I haven't had that for a while. Well, you and I will be speaking again in a few weeks, Lee, because you're coming on the show. We're doing a whole show together, and you're going to talk about your new book, Energy Speaks, Messages from Spirit on Living, Loving and Awakening. So I will really look forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
And the book's just come out and it is available. And if anybody's got any questions that they would like to pose to you, we're not going to open any phone lines, but you can send the questions to me at sandy@sandysedgbeershow@gmail.com. Also, as Lee said earlier, we really would love to hear your thoughts on this month's show and whether anything we shared reflected your own experiences or inspired you to look at something from a different angle. So don't be shy. You can write to any one of us or all three of us at the same email address, sandy.sandysedgebeershow@gmail.com. And meantime, you'll find more information on Lee's workshops, books, classes, and free monthly energy updates at leeharrisenergy.com. And you can check out Susie's powerful body of work and unique offerings, including Avatar Energetics, monthly balancing and integration sessions, and the Children's Sanctuary at susiemiller.com. So that's about it for this week. Susie, would you like to say goodbye to our listeners?
Thank you. This is, it's I really enjoyed this call. Sandy, I know you and Lee and I talk about this, but I love this call. I love the format. I love the ability to have the conversation with you all, both privately and with everybody else listening. So I'm glad you all are here. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm sure it's reflecting what other people are thinking and feeling. At least I certainly hope it is. Okay, that's it from us this week. Thanks for joining us. And I'll be back next week with another edition of What Is Going On. Till then, it's goodbye from me, from Susie, and from Lee.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.